Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to pick up, hopefully, where God wants us. And as we approach the Word, when I was looking at this over the last few weeks, things happen in all of our lives. I'm sure there's not one here that's untouched by some type of trial or health, money, personal relationship, whatever it might be. And it brings out that question that's an age-old question: why do bad things happen to good people? And I found myself saying that, you know, jokingly, not bad, but we had the bear break into our garage and house 4 times in 1 month. So if you're human, you ask why, and you ask God usually. I don't ask the neighbor or anybody else. And I've always said before, why me, God? And the answer is, why not you? But there really is a question that has to be reconciled in our hearts. Why do good things happen to bad people? When you see that going on. But why do these bad things happen to supposedly good people? And a few weeks ago, you know, we touched on that. Well, number one, God tells us, doesn't he? In John 16, says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, period. You're going to have it, trials, troubles, whatever it might be. Some of these trials and tribulations are brought on by Satan, and I don't want to give him credit for everything that goes on. He'll take advantage of it, but it's not always Satan when things happen to Christians in their walk with the Lord, trying to be as good as we humanly can. Sometimes it's our own foolish choices that these things come about. I mean, if you jump out of a plane without a parachute, I don't think you're going to land at your destination gate, right? I mean, it's just foolishness, things that we make these choices, but yet then we blame God, we blame other people, we question ourselves, what are we doing wrong? Has nothing to do with it. Today I want to focus on what I feel Hebrews 12, 5 through, if we get to 11, it answers that question. God sometimes, and especially at the times that we're in right now, God is trying to purify unto himself people, getting us ready for eternity, for heaven, so that when we stand before him, we won't have as much to answer for as if we learn from his training and his correction right now while we still have time and breath. So again, age-old question. I think the answer is right there in Hebrews 12. And it is for believers. And I'd speak to you today because not everyone who sits in a church pew or seat or anything is a believer, believe that or not. Some of us have not taken that step because we were born into possibly religious households. Sometimes we were coerced, in a sense, by our parents to have this faith. And faith is something that is personal, belongs to me, belongs to you. Each one of us has to make that choice to surrender ourselves to the living God for that eternal purpose, which is life everlasting with him. If you haven't made that decision today, please do it, because, like I said, this word is for believers. It's our Heavenly Father speaking to us when we say, why, when's it going to stop, how come? I feel he's giving us an answer in his correction and his direction. So, but first I want to look at something in God's Word before I have us go into Hebrews 12. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I think most of us right now, if you're thinking ahead in, well, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, chapter 18, we won't turn there. They asked the Lord, good master, remember? And his answer to them was, why do you call me good? There is what? None good, but one, but God. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I guess maybe the answer, possibly because none of us are good. Not one of us. Romans 3. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, haven't we? We've all gone our own way. We all make our own decisions. We all even take this God that we say we believe in and trust and love, and we compact him into this person that is comfortable for me to walk with on a daily basis. That could be one of the reasons. Before we go to, if you've got Hebrews 12 open, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. So there's going to be various reasons, but all I want to focus on today is that when these things come into our lives, God, why did the bear break into my garage, rip my garage doors off, took out 5 windows, ate all the food last week for Pat's birthday celebration, Elijah's, blah, blah, why? And the answer isn't because Satan was going after me, or it was because we had food in the garage. And he's a bear. I almost sound like Joe Biden whispering. Why'd I do that? We got bears. They don't think, oh, this is Doug's house. I really should knock. I shouldn't break the door down. It's a bear. It just happens, okay? And it's my stupidity for putting more food back in the refrigerator that he broke in 2 weeks prior. That's simple. But when certain things happen in our lives, when there really isn't an obvious reason, I'd like myself first and maybe the rest of us to stop and say, God, what are you trying to show me here? What is it that you're trying to allow me to correct right now while I have the opportunity? So 1 Peter 4:17, if you're there. You know, I want to go, if I could, I'm going to anyhow. Let's go to 7 first, 1 Peter 4. The Word of God says, but the end of all things is at hand. Mm-hmm. How close is that hand? How close is that? Pat's not really at hand. She's near to hand. This is at hand. This is at hand. That's something I can grab without really moving and straining. And the Word of God, I hope, in some of the lessons that he's trying to teach us, this would be the first springboard why God is allowing some things to happen in good people's life, believers, born agains, you know, whatever it might be. Why is he allowing that? Because the end of all things is at hand. And what he's trying to do is not make our lives simple, not make our lives agreeable to how we've laid it out over our retirement plans and our 401ks and everything else. He's trying to get us ready for eternity. Period. Amen. I mean, that's a sermon in itself, if we could. Well, I just think that God ought to do this. See, we're not ready. We're still thinking too much on our own. We started months ago with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Acknowledge him in everything we do, and he'll start directing things. We're not doing that. The end is coming, and I don't feel that the Lord, who loves us so much, wants us to get caught unawares. He's telling us stuff. And many of us that have children, how many times have we told our children, I've said this 100 times, how many times do I have to tell you? How many times did you ever hear? Now, you guys never heard that, Chris, right? How many times have we got to tell? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, we say this. And God, I just love him so much because he's so gracious. He doesn't speak to me that way. What he does is he lets me go ahead and bump into every little wall and chair and trip as I go in his love so that maybe I can go, oh, now I have it. Now I understand. Behold, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be sober. That means be clear-minded. That has nothing to do with alcohol consumption, which is another sermon I can get on. If anybody, raise their hands if you'd like to hear about that. Only kidding. But be sober, clear-minded. Start thinking, critical thinking about what's happening in our world, our society, those surroundings that we occupy every day. God is saying, be clear-minded, start to look, watch. The end of all things is at hand. And watch unto prayer. How much time do I spend when the things in my life go wrong in prayer immediately? Or do I go immediately to griping? Do I go immediately to blaming somebody else? Do I go and try to rationalize why? God is saying, Doug, the end is coming. Start watching now and start praying. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Have you ever heard the one to another's in the Bible? There's so many of them. Love one another. You know, you look them up. But here's another one of those one another's. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. God, through all things, my trouble, my bad thing that just happened to me, the things that are going on in your life, why is this happening? They are designed to a degree that God doesn't cause them, but he will utilize those to get us on that path to eternity and give him the glory when this thing is finally leaving us. So anyhow, God in verse 11 may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, and here, you know, good things again, bad things happening to good people. Verse 12, behold, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, the Lord tells us that the things that are going on in every one of our lives, no matter what degree it might be, it's common to mankind. Everybody suffers. Everybody has something going on in their life. It's what the outcome of it's going to be. And from us as believers, it should be glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we look at the Corey Ten Booms. We look at, Johnny Erickson Tye. Look how God used them, and they glorify him every day. I can glorify him every single day, even through a bear break-in, even through appendicitis, even through cancers, even through whatever it might be. God is trying to utilize us before he comes back for us. Beloved, so don't think it's strange. Why is this happening to me? But rejoice in 13. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, suffering, sonship, God's love for us all go together. Don't ever try to separate that. Well, I became a Christian because I thought my life would become easier. I became a Christian so all these trials would go away. No, no, no. Where did we get that? That's not in this word. God learned obedience through suffering. So maybe I need to learn a little obedience for what I feel I've been suffering over the last few years. Some of it is natural happenstance, but some of it is of my own device. And God is trying to wake me up at least, and he's saying rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory will be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Well, that's not me, right? Or as a thief. Anybody ever steal anything? I think, pencil in school, or guy's snack that you sat next to at lunch when he got up to get a napkin or something. I like the way the Lord builds this down right to where we can put ourselves in the picture. Don't suffer as a murderer, no problem. As a thief, no problem. As an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. A busybody. They don't use that word much anymore. What is that? Gossiper, talebearer, whisperer. And that's what the father of lies is. God doesn't want anything of that matter to be in our life. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So are we suffering as Christians, not just persecution and everything? What's going on in my life? I am suffering a little bit. I think everybody can say that. But could it be that God is trying to get us ready for eternity? Because I don't know when my next day is. You don't know when your next day is. It could be like that tomorrow. And he's only trying to love us enough to get us ready to be in his presence for eternity. Verse 17 is the crux of the matter of why bad things happen to good people and how God could be doing what he's saying to us in Hebrews. For the time has come that judgment must begin. Not punishment, judgment. God is judging our works. He's judging the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we present. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Why do bad things happen? Because God is judging his church. Not in every situation, please don't expand that, but God is utilizing situations, especially for his children, to tune us up, to get us ready. And if I'm not ready, I mean, give me a couple more years, I'll get a thing. Oh, I just wish I could buy this house before he comes back. God wants us ready today as we're hearing this sermon. Ready enough to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Here I am. And I wonder, am I there? I still have one leg shackled to this world, believe it or not. I think every one of us have that. I don't want it. I'm sure you don't want it. But it's still there. Can anything be done about that? I feel yes. If we look at it the way that the Lord, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. Look at it this way now, Doug. So I went to Hebrews 5. Let's read it. I love 4. For you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's perspective. Remember, we're supposed to look to Jesus and everything. Consider him. And then put things into perspective. Yes, my life right now might not be as good as everybody else, but it's sure not as bad as some other people. And what the Lord is saying here is, hey, Doug, quit griping. You haven't resisted unto blood. Think about what the Lord did for us. Read Isaiah, if we would. You know, let's see, we'll go to Isaiah 53. He took my sin. He gave every ounce of blood. He died for me. And I think what 4 is saying is, can I live for him? Can I take whatever comes in this natural life? Glorify him through it? I'm not saying, and forgive me for cancers. You're not supposed to. Ted battling cancer. I'm sure there's others here. Oh, praise God, I have cancer. Glory. No, he's not saying it that way, but it's Lord, you know. Your will. Your will. And if we have that mindset, I feel it can bring some of us, maybe not all of us, through what we're going to be going through. Consider him. You and I haven't suffered that bad. So then he goes on in 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children? My son, despise thou not the chastening. That chastening is not our word that we look at as punishment. We think chastening is a spanking, a punishment. I joke around here, but it was, you know, my mother always told Teddy and I, go ahead, God's going to punish you. And we always walked around when we did it anyhow, just watching, just in case, you know. But chastisement from God is not punishment. It's training. It's correction. It's getting us to see what is right, not so much who's right, because that's where we are. It's, I'm right, you're wrong. God is trying to show us what is right. And so here's that chastisement, in a sense, that we've forgotten in 5. Have you forgotten? What a question. So, I mean, that's something we have to answer. No, I haven't forgot that. I can quote scripture. Oh, that's great. How does that scripture affect your life, though, that you can quote? There's some people that can read a whole chapter, a whole book. If we remember Irv Smith, who used to do our Bible character portrayals, he'd start at the back and he'd walk in and he would do the whole book of Job. He'd do the whole book of, you know, whatever, and he would speak it and we were amazed. It's like Jack Van Impe. He just comes up. But how has those verses, how have those verses affected my life? And, not the way I think the Lord wants them to. So have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children? God is looking at us as his children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The same thing was happening. And what the writer of Hebrews is doing is speaking to these converts, these Jewish converts, to Christianity at this time, who were under persecutions. They were under ridicule from people. Things were going bad in their life, and they were ready to give up, just quit, forget it. You know, maybe my life wasn't so good. He's trying to show them, please, God is dealing with you. You know, if you and I were never worried about grieving the Holy Spirit, that right there, have you ever had that? Oh boy, I did. That's proof that God is working in your life, because if you weren't his, these things wouldn't bother us one little bit. So have we forgotten? And I think the answer to that is yes. Have I forgotten what God is trying to tell me, speaking to me as a son, as it says in 5? When he says, despise not that chastening, nor faint, I must have forgotten, because there's times, don't you? Maybe not. Don't you just want to stop? When's it going to be over? When's this going to be done with? It won't be done until we stand in his presence. But with that accusation, have you forgotten? The exhortation, the encouragement is what he's trying to tell us. My answer is yes, I sure have. And it amazes me what I have the ability to forget that is so critical, when I have the ability to remember things to the detail that will mean nothing in eternity. Well, I remember 14 years ago, and this is not truth, because I wasn't looking at Tom, because it might be true. Taffy, you said this, this, and this. And, well, I don't know. Oh, yes, you did. I remember exactly. And we spit that stuff out. Isn't it amazing how much we can remember in non-eternal things, and we forget what God, and here he is telling us, have you forgotten? It's just a little shake. It's just a wake-up call. Flip over to Hebrews 2. We've already forgotten probably when we did this, what, 3 months ago. Have you forgotten? And the Lord led me back to chapter 2 of Hebrews, when we were exhorted to, therefore, what's it all there for? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, what we hear, you know, maybe Doug spoke something wrong. Maybe the preacher on the radio or the TV said something wrong. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the written word of God that is a living word. And it said God, who in verse 1 of chapter 1, since we're right there, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, that's where we are, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and that's you and I. We're going to be with him for eternity. He is speaking to us, but I'm either not listening because it's not convenient, or I'm blaming somebody else for what's going on in my life and the way it's going. And God is speaking to me. Well, I want to, come on, I'm listening. Open the word of God is what I've been hearing in my life. Well, I do. I open it, you know, for every Sunday sermon. How about on Tuesday instead of watching Longmire? maybe I should be listening to God. What do I hear? Maybe on that Thursday night when we can't find anything on Netflix, Hulu, FUBU, whatever else is on the Babylonian idiot box, why don't I just stop for a minute and listen and say, God, what are you trying to tell me about all this stuff that's going on in my life? He's speaking to us through his son Jesus right now. And this is what they knew. Turn to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 3. Have you forgotten? Remember, that's what we're on. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. My son. Again, a son. We're his children. That ought to end. And, you know, some of us might not have had fathers like we're trying to describe God. They might have been cruel. Some of us might not have even had one. But we've got a father now that, in spite of all of our earthly parental upbringing, we've got one whose concern and care is just for our benefit, to purify us, to make us into his image, to impart that righteousness, that holiness that only he can do, but it's going to take training. Verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Again, God is not trying to show us who's right. I'm God. He's trying to show us what's right. And sometimes it takes hard life lessons. Maybe that's why some of the things are going on in my life. Revelation. Let's turn to that. Chapter 3. He's speaking in chapter 3 to the angel of the church of Sardis, and I'm not going to give a sermon on speaking to a church right now, and I feel God is speaking to us, his church, right now, even though this was written to Sardis. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he which has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. It's a scary thought, isn't it? God knows my works. He knows my going out. He knows my coming in. He knows what I'm going to do this afternoon. He knows where I'll fall short, and he's ready to pick me up and dust me off and help me along so I might not stumble again. I know your works. I'm not trying to make this a scary thing, you know, like mom did. God's going to punish you. This is something that should, my God knows who I am. I'm not just some abject being walking around. He knows every one of us. And he says, I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Yeah, we're Calvary Chapel. And a lot of times I feel we're maintaining past success, if that makes sense to anybody. What's convenient? What's easy? What fits in my time block? Be watchful, God says in 2, and strengthen the things which remain. What remains? Faith, hope, and love. Faith that God knows the trial I'm going through, and this is not Satan going to overpower me in the trial I'm going through. Hope that my God is going to rescue me right quick. He's going to come leaping across the mountains. And love. Love for the God that I say I've given my heart to. That no matter what befalls me, no matter what comes, I am going to try my human best to give him glory in it, through it, or however else it might work. Be watchful. Strengthen those things that remain and are ready to die. And trust me, it's such a slow process. Troubles come into our life. We ask God why. That's questioning God. That's doubting God to begin with. I never really put it together that way. But when I ask him those things, if they're not honest, like I'm blaming him, if you would, my faith is ready to die. I should know him better. I'm not that servant that, well, I knew you were a hard taskmaster and I hid everything you gave me. I know that my God has an abundance to give me. This is not it. And if it's my own bad choices, God's going to fix it. If it's Satan coming after my life, God's going to fix it. And if it's God, I better pay attention and see what he's trying to tell me to do. Be watchful. Strengthen those things that remain. I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. And see, that's what I was trying. God is trying to speak to us in these last days. Remember, because we just had in that scripture, have you forgotten? But no, I haven't forgotten. I can quote the scripture. But what he's saying is here, then remember. Remember, therefore, how you received it and heard and hold fast and repent. There's the three R's of education right there. You know, we got reading, writing, arithmetic. That was great for him to teach us that way, wasn't it? Remember how you received is the thing, and repent. Three R's right there. Take God's word seriously. He's trying to get us to a point of holiness. And holiness is not something that we drift into just overnight, or, you know, if I go to church enough times. We don't drift into holiness. And this isn't my statement. There's a commentator named Stock who said, we do not drift into holiness. The stream of tendency is against us. The tendency is to give up, just like these early Hebrews. The tendency is to blame you for annoying me or something, you know, and I'm just 55 years, she hasn't annoyed me a couple hundred times, maybe. I've done much better in annoyance. We don't drift in to God's holiness. It doesn't just happen. It takes work. It takes labor. It takes effort. And it takes the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit within our lives, which is a whole nother thing, but it is not easy, because as Stock said, the stream of tendency is against us. What does that mean? It means it's easier to go this way, right, than to try to swim upstream to get to where God wants us. If therefore you shall not watch, I'll come on thee as a thief, and you're not going to know what hour I will come upon thee. Harsh, hard words. I'm just looking at the time, and I wanted to go to Job. Let's go to Job. Go to Job 5. I'd like us to read all of Job. You know, I said one time, and many of us took it to heart, reading the Psalms every day. I think it would behoove us to read the book of Job no matter what situation is going on in your life right now. Because here's a man that he lost all of his children, all of his home, all of his cattle, all of his land. He lost everything he had. He was covered in boils and sores and everything, and yet he never accused God falsely. He could have been the first one. Why are bad things happening to me? He trusted his Lord. He trusted his Savior. And if you read the end of the book, God gave him back twice. And we don't do that so we get back, but God blessed him with twice as much as he had in the very beginning. Why? Because Job was a great guy and everything else? No. It's because he trusted his Lord and his Savior. Eliphaz in 5 is what I was picking out, because I think this really doesn't resonate in our spirit. Eliphaz is arguing with Job in chapter 5, and in 17 he says, behold, happy is the man. You know, so Job's going through all this business right now of losing everything he's got, and his best buddy, which you and I have within this body. Blessed. or happy, it says here, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. How often do we do that to each other? How often? Right statement, because God is trying to chastise us, but he's not punishing us, which Eliphaz, well, it must be sin in your life. Well, if my problems and the bad things that are coming into our lives happen because of sin, I should be dead right now with the sin that's in my life. God is training me. God is testing me. He's proving me to let me see what I'm really made of. And I'm going to have to save the rest maybe for next week. So are you having problems today like everybody else around us? I will end with this one. In Hebrews 12:6, the author of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, responds to what we heard in Proverbs. He responds with the same word that we heard just now in Job. And in verse 6, he reminds them again, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. So if we're having trouble, maybe we ought to stop and think, instead of anger right away when these things come, instead of being hurt, like I deserve better than this, instead of maybe blaming someone else, instead of giving up, because I see that as a common problem in every church that I'm associated with other pastors, people get hurt or God doesn't do what they want, and what they do is they give up. I'm going. I'll never go to that church again. They're filled with a bunch of hypocrites. I'll never walk, one step into there. Instead of giving up, I would suggest maybe, just maybe, we try giving in. Giving in. Stop leaning into what's happening to us. Give in to Jesus Christ. Ask him, Father God, what are you trying to show me? Because I think we've become so habitualized that we rationalize God. We blame somebody else when what I should be doing, they're not doing. And if he is the good father that we know he is, he's just doing it for my benefit. Yeah, we'll get on to the rest as far as... Think about your own dad at one point and some of the chastening, which was punishment. Time out. Loss of, what's a timeout today? You got a TV, a computer, an iPhone, you got a refrigerator with food in it. I mean, I would love to have been sent to a room like that when I was a kid. But our fathers on this earth, I think in a whole view, chastened us, punished us to straighten us up, get us to act like they wanted us to act, giving them less of a headache during the course of their busy day, and that's why we were punished. But when we leave here today, let's understand that our God is training us. He's not punishing us. He loves us. We're sons. And what father that loves his son doesn't try the very best? The one good thing I remember about, well, there's many more, but my dad made this statement once, and he said, I'm not going to be around all of your life. That's why I'm so hard on you. I want you to learn. God will be around all of our life, and he still wants us to learn. So, Father God, thank you for your lessons. Thank you for your word that, Father God, help us to shut the just the cries of this world, the tyranny of what's going on around us, Father. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to remember, as the author just said, have you forgotten that these things might be happening in your life because God is loving you and trying to correct you, not wanting you to go that way? Help us to see and understand that as we enter into your word this week, Father. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, real scary accusation coming, though, in the next verse, when if you don't have any correction, if you don't have any chastening, if you feel like life is just ducky, maybe God's not dealing with you as a son. I didn't say that. He's saying it. That should scare us. That should scare us. Who am I that I shouldn't have any problems? Maybe I'm not his son. Maybe he doesn't, I look at him that way, but maybe he's not looking at me that way yet. But if you are his, just watch the beauty he makes today, tomorrow, this week, out of what we look at as miserable. Life's disappointments are God's love appointments. Amen. I have here nothing I wrote, but if you want one, they'll be up here. It's some conclusions of why the Christian has bad things happening in their life. And it'll lead you to some verses and things I wasn't able to hit. So I'll put them right over here. Let's stand and worship God. Oh, I got pretty quiet.